If you eat, sleep, and breathe golf...
Sounds like my kind of guy.
Love to explore...
All right, here's what you do. You're going to call your PR guy on the phone, tell him I'm here to see him.
And most importantly, just want to have some fun?
Looks like we got ourselves an orgy here.
Well, welcome to Talking Golf Getaways with Mitch and Darren.
Don't you think this is starting to get just a little big for the two of us to handle?
Here's the guy with all the questions, Mitch Lawrence.
I don't know how much you know about journalism, but... First rule of thumb is don't ever ask a question that you don't want an answer to.
And the guy with all the answers, Darren Bunch.
It's not his fault. He's just trying not to lose his job.
Hello and welcome once again to Talking Golf Getaways. Glad you found us wherever you consume your podcasting content on Apple, Audioboom, or as always on the Golf Trip Experts website at golftripx.com. I'm Mitch Lawrence along with two great friends. I can't wait to talk to both of them, Darren Bunch and Chris McEwen, as we do here, trying to find the best places for you to go play. And this week, I can't say how excited I am to talk to you about a course that I, my wife, and two of our great friends played last week and kind of found unexpectedly and turned out to be one of the great golf experiences that I've had in 40 years of playing golf. I don't say it lightly, but I say it with a full heart because it was a day that I won't forget. And we're going to talk about it, Darren, Chris, and I, and hopefully you'll get an understanding of why Sequoia National, outside of Asheville in Cherokee, North Carolina, is such an amazing, special place. So here it is, our discussion about Sequoia National. Enjoy. Okay, so let's get to what we want to talk about today. I'm going to start because I had one of those experiences last week in the mountains of North Carolina. I went up with my wife, Ava, and our great friends, Bob and Vicky Paskey, who came down from Grand Ledge, Michigan. We went to, you might remember, we had a whole podcast about last year's trip. We went to Glade Springs in West Virginia, had a great time. So we decided to meet up again and picked literally this destination outside of Asheville, North Carolina, because of Sequoia National. I had seen a bunch of posts on social media. Darren has been there. I vaguely remember him talking about it. He was there years ago. And also because I just vaguely listened to Darren when he talks.
But, it's funny you say that. I think I went to Cherokee, North Carolina. Yeah. I think I like left a trip while I was with you. And then like tacked it on at the last. I can't remember exactly how I did it, or honestly, I can't remember what year it was. It's been, you know, It was more than a pandemic ago. So,
well, it could be that I was so glad you left me that I forgot where you were going. I didn't care really.
Anyway. It might've been right after you and I played Tot Hill Farm with Brian when we converted him to Hickories. I might've left from that and gone on up to Cherokee. So it's beautiful drive going up there. It's just unforgettable.
Yeah. But regardless, I really got the bug when I saw some pictures of the golf course, and we were going to meet somewhere anyway. And I thought, it's the mountains. It'll be cool. Nice. Let's go. So I got in touch, and I want to give a shout out right off the top to our good friend, Megan Godfrey of Kemper Sports. Darren, you sent Megan an email. She got back to both of us. I said I wanted to go to Sequoia National, and she was so generous and accommodating, as they always are. Kemper Sports is, I could do a whole show, and you could too, about Kemper Sports and how great they are. But through the great graces of Megan and Brad Adams, who's the GM at Sequoia National, who I then got in touch with, and he set up a whole, you know, round for the four of us. And it was just fantastic. I'll talk a little bit more about him as I go. But thanks to them, got to play, and we made that the first course of the three that we played last week. So Sequoia National, we get up there, we drive, we have a beautiful drive. For those of you who haven't been to the Blue Ridge or Great Smoky Mountains in North Carolina, it's an unbelievable place to drive around. We got there first night, was fabulous. And then we got up in the morning, and it's about a half hour drive to Cherokee from where we were staying. And again, you're going through some beautiful mountain country, but it doesn't prepare you like we were talking about Gamble Sands and how you're unprepared for what you see when you get to the final place and you see the elevation and what's below you. And that's what Sequoia National is. We drove in, went to the smallish clubhouse, and went in and I met Brad and we had a little talk. And then I went outside, I stepped through the back door of the clubhouse. And when you're there, and Brian, Darren, I don't know if you remember this, I'm hoping you do, but when you step out is when you are literally looking out over what's the practice, the driving range, a small driving range, out to the mountains, and a substantial drop, probably a 100-foot drop, where you hit balls. And that's the first sighting you have of what you're about to face. And from that moment, you know that you're about to do something that if it keeps that up and gets better, you're going to be blown away. And it absolutely does that.
I remember it's kind of a roller coaster plunge down into the valley through which you play. And it's just spectacular for that reason.
Yeah.
It is. Among others.
It's 4 miles from Harrah's Casino. Harrah's is a big part of what's going on. And a lot of people who go to Harrah's obviously go over to Sequoia National and play golf while they're at the casino. So, one quick thing, when I was talking to Brad about this, Sequoia National has a dedicated retail store in the casino. And he said it's unbelievable the business they do. They sell clothing. They actually sell hard goods. They sell clubs. And he said the club sales are fantastic. And wow. I said, wait, you talking about people buying drivers and stuff? He said, oh, yeah. And then in the discussion, we realized it's perfect because you're in the casino. Let's say you win a couple of quick grand at the blackjack table. You've got $2,000 in cash. If you're a fanatic golfer,
right?
This is genius to me.
Yeah,
right. If you were home, you wouldn't go, okay, I'm burning some, hole in my pocket because I have a couple hundred extra. This is the potential of really having some cash. And you just go in and go, yeah, give me that one. I'll drop $500 on a driver. Anyway,
do they make people walk through that area to get out of the casino so like you can run new driver?
I didn't go that deep, Chris. I should have. As an investigative journalist, I should have. But anyway, so they're kind of tied into Harrah's.
I stayed at the hotel casino when I was there, way back when, and great little place. The rooms are good. The casino's cool. It's a spot on if you want to have a golf and gambling trip.
It
definitely makes my list of some of my favorite golf and gambling getaways that there are here in the country.
Well, it's the course is ranked 39th in the country for casino courses. I think it should be higher. I haven't played a lot of the other ones, but I can't see how it's not higher. But here's another. I'll throw this in. I was going to talk about it later. But in the works and the plans, there's a 110-room lodging facility that's about to be built on the highest point above the clubhouse, kind of above the practice range.
Wow.
They figure it's going to be finished in about 2 years. They haven't broken ground or anything, but it's in the works. And when they told me that, I said, okay, this will be a complete, between having the casino close by and then that kind of lodging and this golf course, man, it's going to be off the charts. So that's in the works. Brad Adams, I mentioned the GM, he's a Kemper guy and I want to mention this because I realized after I thought about it that any time I have been to a Kemper-managed facility like Sequoia National, I almost don't even have to know anything about the place I'm going. That's how good the entire operation is when they're involved. And Brad is an example of that. He was with Kemper a while ago. He left. He came back. He's there now. He is he's a perfect shepherd for the kind of place that Sequoia National is. Absolutely perfect. He's passionate about it. He loves being there. He's involved in every step of everything going on. He works with another fantastic guy that I got to spend some time with, who's the head PGA professional there, a guy named Carr Crow. And he's been there for a while. And he ties into what I think was I've been away for a week now from that day. And the more I've been away, the deeper the experience of the Native American part of what Sequoia National is about has kind of really hit home. Because in addition to being this unbelievable golf course, it was the golf course itself opened in 2009. It's a Robert Trent Jones Jr. design project. The first and original architect is a guy named Ty Butler, who's done a bunch of great courses. He was the chief architect at the beginning. They broke ground in 2006 or seven, opened up in 2009. He worked in consultation with Nota Begay. And Nota, as you know, Native American, has his own great design company called NB3. And their projects are strictly Native American-based golf course projects. So Nota was involved on the construction part and consulting on it. And so they opened the golf course. And it got great reviews. It was ranked the number two new public course when it opened, and it really got great reviews. But over time, they found that the grassing and the bunkering was not up to their expectations. So they decided to come in and do a really big renovation. It turned out to be a $2.7 million renovation. They got in touch with RTJ again, and Bruce Charlton played a huge part at Chambers Bay. He's, you know, he's a big deal at the Robert Trent Jones group. He's the president, chief design officer. So he came out and he oversaw a complete, and Darren, knowing the layout and the elevation changes, think about this, a complete regrassing of the entire golf course.
That's amazing.
Literally just digging everything up, all of it, which was bluegrass before, and didn't really do well in the warm summer months. They had to do a lot of work during the season. So they went in, they regrassed the entire place with Zoysia, and it is beautiful. And I mean beautiful. It's really gorgeous. So they did the tees, they did the fairways, they did the green surrounds. All of that is new. And they went in, they took out 12 bunkers, and then they kind of did some work on the existing bunkers. They took all the sand out. And I say this because along the way, these other courses we played, you realize what it means to care this much about the sand in the bunkers. And because I hit it so often in the bunkers, I am highly aware of how great this is. But they went in and they did the work on the bunkers. They added capillary concrete liners, which allows for better water getting through the bunkers and leaving the sand. The sand that they put in, I don't know the name of it, but it's fantastic. It really is great to go in there, and you feel like you're getting honest shots. Even if they're not great, you're getting honest shots. So they go in, they do the whole thing, and they started this right at the summer of 2020 during the pandemic. So in a way, it worked out perfectly. There wasn't much travel at all. They went in, they reopened in the fall, did all this work as the grass grew in. And one of the biggest takeaways that Brad told me was, and a lot of people don't realize this, but the Sequoia National and some other courses in the mountains are open year round. Mm-hmm. I was under the assumption that they would close down during the winter months, but they're open year round. And according to him, some of the best days that they get are during those winter months. If you hit a good run, he said it'll be 55, 60 degrees out here and perfect.
Yeah.
And so all this kind of coincided as they started to get the grass in November, December. They started to get some people coming back through the winter months. And then in the spring, it really started picking up again. And now they're just doing phenomenally well. It's the course is owned by the Eastern Band of Cherokee Indians. And I kind of want to get back to this just for a second, if you guys will indulge me, because it was a really powerful experience. And the way they've set it up is at every tee box, there is a plaque with some kind of history of the Cherokee Nation. And at every turn, you're learning something about not only the Cherokee tribe, but legends of the Cherokee tribe. The holes are named for certain aspects of their stories. And they'll say, this is why there might be a stand of trees, and those trees have a special meaning, and the hole would be named for those trees. And as I went through, and this is what's kind of great, with every succeeding hole, you are being more connected to the land and the Cherokee tribe. You know, I you know me, guys. I never, I never get deep ever. But I want to hear because I think it's so much a part of what Sequoia National is about.
But you are moved. You say that as a joke, but you are moved by golf that has a connection to the land. We had that when we had Augie on. He talked a lot about that. And so, I mean, I totally understand that. And I think it's one of the things I like about you, man.
Well, I appreciate it. It wasn't just me. All four of us kind of felt the same way. You start by going out because you've seen beautiful pictures of a great golf course. But what happens when you're at Sequoia National, I really mean this, is when you leave, you are, I don't want it to be hyperbole, but you're a slightly changed person when you leave the golf course. And yes, we laughed a lot. We had an unbelievable time, but on a personal side, when I left, and today, a week later, I can still feel it because of it's like you said with Augie Pisa, you know, and why we reacted to that. The connection to the land and what the land means and what it meant to the Cherokee Nation is such an integral part of this place. And I came back and I thought, I don't know that I can really put into words. So I went back and I got Tom Coyne's book, of course, called America. And I remembered reading it the first time that he had gone to a place called The Rez in Arizona, which was a 9-hole course in the middle of Navajo Nation that was put together by a few guys there. And it's literally sand and sagebrush is how he describes it. And the line that he had in there, and it was interesting to me because Nota Begay is in Navajo, and that course that Tom played was in the Navajo Nation. But his words were, and the thing that got to me was I was almost torn, because what it does is you go back and you are connected to the history, in this case, of the Cherokee Nation. And it's not a great history of a really proud people. And yet this golf course is incredibly respectful, totally beautiful. So when I went back to Tom's book, this is what he said about the place in Arizona. He said, while the relocation of Native Americans was among America's darkest chapters, there was more pride and partnership in these acres than any I'd visited elsewhere. And I realized that's what I was also feeling, was the pride of the people who put Sequoia National together and Carry On. When I was talking to Carr Crow, his description of what's happening with junior players and his clinics now, Cherokee High School is right there. It's a half a mile from the golf course. What it means to them to have this golf course and the junior programs, they have state tournaments there. The creation of jobs that's been given to people, the whole way it's tied into the community to me was so impressive and so beautiful. And it's just the impact they've had on that population. Carr said himself, he was in high school when they started building it. He didn't know anything really about it. And he went out and he found out about building the course. He got involved, and he got so involved that he decided to go to college, get his PGA credentials, and is now guiding and mentoring all these other kids. So there's really big impact there. So I guess that's my Sequoia National. I can only tell people, if you are anywhere, and it's, you can get to it from a whole bunch of places. It's in a great location. You know, we cross the Tennessee border from Knoxville. Asheville, as I said, is close to 2.5-hour drive from Charlotte, North Carolina. You can get there. And the only thing I can say is, and we've experienced a lot of great golf, the three of us, but this is as good a day, pretty much, with maybe a couple of exceptions, as I've had on a golf course. Something brand new, didn't expect it, and absolutely blew me away.
I think it's one of the better mountain golf courses I've ever played. And I say that for a couple of reasons. It's, you know, there's so many elevated tees that you just get these views, you know, it seems like on every fairway that are just fantastic. I've seen pictures. I wasn't there in the fall, and obviously you weren't either. I've seen pictures in the fall where the colors are just mind-blowing. And it's just a beautiful place that you get down in there and you just kind of feel like you've gotten away from it all. If I remember correctly, Mitch, there's a par 3 down like kind of at the far end of the property that has maybe a little barn or a house next to it or something like that, that I remember vividly. You know, you've got kind of wetlands holes at the same time that you have, these big heaving mountain holes. It's such a great mix of golf as you go through the whole day. And I was actually really, really sad that I didn't play it more than just the one time when I was there.
Yep. You have to go back. And Chris, because one of the other things I realized about it that I love, it's really playable. In other words, the design of the golf course and the third course that I'll talk about, Laurel Ridge, is kind of the antithesis of this. Sequoia National, even though it's got these stunning elevation changes, downhill, uphill, you can play this golf course. It's all kind of in front of you. And the bunkering, where they place the bunkers, there's plenty of room out there to miss. If you hit it in it, fine. But there's plenty of room to miss. It's an incredibly – there are a couple of holes where the greens are, you know, they're on a ledge or
protected
whatever. Mm-hmm. But you can still get around. And if you're smart, there's nothing that takes away from the enjoyment. And as a first-time round, you know, if you play it 5 times, 10 times, you know where you're going, like any course. But the fact that it's a resort mountain course where you can go and enjoy it while you're playing it, instead of being beaten up by it when you get off it, which happens on some of those courses, that was another great part of this. And the views of the Great Smokies while you're doing it, like Darren said.
I don't even
know. And the thing is, the rates midweek range from $60 to $100 a round, depending on the time of the day. And on weekends, from $75 to $125 a round. And given it's amazing. Given the conditions of the golf course and how they keep it, the whole package is off the charts. It really is.
You talk about the playability. You know, now that I'm spending more and more time with Dan Hixon, we talk about this a lot, and we talk about things being sneaky wide. Mm-hmm. You know, you look at David McClay Kids projects, and you see the width immediately. Right, right. You know, Gamble Sands, Mammoth Dunes, those things. But Bar Run, you know, and what Hixon's trying to do with his subsequent projects now is that he wants the width to be out there. He just doesn't always want you to see it. And it's really kind of a mentality that goes back to what we talk about all the time that Mike Strantz,
I was just going to say
I think perfected at Tobacco Road, where he plays a little bit with your mind, but there's plenty of room out there if you know what you're doing and once you get out there. So, but that kind of sneaky width is what I would consider to be, you know, you stand on some of those tees and look down into these, you know, these fairways, there's, like you say, a lot of width out there. And in the worst case scenario, you miss the width and you get it into the bunkers, you're not losing golf balls. I'm sure you can lose golf balls at Cherokee. I mean, at Sequoia National, definitely, but the less of that, the better is what we always talk about on this podcast. And I think it's a good example of these courses and why we love them for that reason.
All right. So I'm going to move on. We got a bunch of other things before. Yeah.
Can I mention, since we're just going to go for forever on this anyway, you mentioned Zoysia, that they replanted with Zoysia. And I am the farthest thing from a grass hound, in many ways.
I have to admit, when I think of you, the words grass hound never really meant to.
I mean, there were years and years and years. I've been in this business a while, and there's a lot of time I couldn't tell you, I didn't know my past palum from my Bermuda type of thing. But I do know a little bit about Zoysia because we've kind of created this mini Zoysia farm that we're testing Zoysia down at Rams Hill. And so just not long ago when I was down there, Harry Turner, the GM, and then Will Mayo and Robert Reed, who worked there, we all went out and just hit shots off this Zoysia surface that they're talking about maybe using in the future or seeing how it'll survive in the desert. And what a fabulous surface for fairways. It's just it's outstanding. And I think not enough people know about or understand the difference in the grasses we play on and how hard it is to maintain different things, and why everybody is looking for that silver bullet of, you know, what's the best surface that's going to survive in whatever climate. When you talk about where you're at, or where Sequoia National is up in those mountains, being able to find the right grass to survive in a place like that, that can be humid, it can be cold, it can be just right, it can have winds coming through the canyons. It's really one of those kind of holy grail type of things. And so to hear you talk about that they use zoysia and that it's really worked for them is just a great thing to hear, because it gives hope to so many other golf courses that I think are struggling out there with trying to find the right grass. The right grass is out there for every golf course. It's just a matter of trying to find it. And then, of course, having the money to be able to do what you need to do to put it in.
Well, and I think it's a great point, actually, because all four, now I'm much deeper into this world than either my wife or my two friends, obviously. But all four of us, and this is, again, how you know that something is really working. They three flipped out about the day and the experience, all of it. They also, all three, mentioned how great it was to hit shots off the fairway.
Nice.
They never do that. They never do that. The only time I've experienced, and I'm sure you guys too, but you go to a place like Bandon or Gamble Sands or Cabot where you're playing on fescue, and someone who's never hit a shot off fescue goes, "Holy shit!"
Yeah, yeah.
Because that is a major difference. But just to wrap up this, Darren, they realized that they were having so much. The challenge of having bluegrass up there was really big, and it makes an impact on how, because word of mouth, Brad Adams said to me, word of mouth has gotten so good since they regrassed, because the conditions, people would go and the conditions wouldn't be great. Yeah, the views are nice, but the grass isn't. But since they changed over, he said the word of mouth from people coming, say, he says he hears all the time, some guy will say, "I'm really pissed because I was at the casino and this guy said to me, you got to go play Sequoia National. It's fabulous. And it's so great. The conditions are great, everything else. But I didn't think you guys were open in the winter. I didn't even bring my clubs." So they're feeling, and zoysia is a warm weather grass, and they didn't know if it would survive in the mountains. They tested it on a bunch of the green surrounds over time to see how it would do. And when they realized it was working, they got Bruce Charlton, when that was the impetus behind the getting back in touch with RTJ and getting him out. And Bruce Charlton came out and gave his okay and said, "Yeah, this is, let's go with it." And once they got the okay and they were able to do it, they worked with Southeastern, which is a company, and it was like a big partnership to regress this whole thing.
Sure.
It's a great point you make. Because
you got to have the money to do it,
and
which the tribe does, and you've got to have the ability to shut the golf course down.
Yeah,
you know, to do it. You know, when golf courses I'm associated with who have had issues with grassing issues, you know, it's a major commitment if you decide you're going to try to solve them during your season or during high season. You know, and shut the golf course down for, you know, a month or two, you know, financially, that's almost unsustainable for most places. So they're in a unique position to be able to have afforded to do it. And I compliment the vision. That guy you mentioned in the casino who says that, he's the reason they sell golf clubs in the little shop.
Yeah, it's true.
Right.
It's true. Brad said to me, he said, you know, we get that all the time, that this word of mouth that people have heard about the golf course being in the casino. And you realize it's full of people. And if you play golf, eventually you'll find somebody to talk to about golf. You could be sitting at a blackjack table and, you know, losing your ass, but the guy next to you wants to know about the golf courses you played. Oh, I can't believe I didn't say this. The cart barn at Sequoia is an open air cart barn. I'll see if I can describe this. It's got a roof, obviously, but it's open air, the rest of it. So all the carts are underneath that roof. The frame for the roof, from the ground up to the curved apex of this cart area, which is probably, I'm going to say, 40 feet up. The entire frame that you see is made of wood. and not only made of wood, but it is made of sequoia and oak that they have split. So the pieces are, I'm going to say, an inch wide. And they cut these inch wide strips of straight wood. They then soak them and bend them 40 feet to the apex of this building. And then,
so they're curved?
Curved.
Wow.
I'll put up a picture for you and you'll see what I'm talking about. And then they laid, I don't know how many of them there are, probably 15 of them glued together to form the frame that the roof sits on. I completely blew me away. All right, quickly, if you want to get some information, sequoianational.com, S-E-Q-U-O-Y-A-H, national.com, at Sequoia Golf on Twitter, at Sequoia National on Instagram. And also, I really recommend you go to nb3consulting.com. That's Nota Begay's consulting firm. It's a great website and really give you an idea of what Nota's all about. And he's been a champion. They told me that when they, when they're going to open the lodging, whenever that is, that Nota and Robert Trent Jones Jr. will both be there. That's how important Sequoia National is to them. All right. I always dream about finding a getaway experience that blows our minds and swells our hearts. Last week, I found one at Sequoia National. We hope you have a chance to run down a dream of your own. The Cherokee people don't have a word for goodbye. They do have one for till we meet again. Donada go ha'i. I say it to you. See ya.